Blog Talk Radio.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
Give me the microphone and go away.
The best in pro wrestling talk.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold Texas. This right here is the future of wrestling.
And it begins now.
Can you dig it?
You have tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show. Thank you all for tuning in. The best in pro wrestling talk. I'm your host, Ken Reedy. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Be sure to go and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/The Ken Reedy Show, at The Ken Reedy Show on Twitter, and TheKenReedyShow.com is our official website. Be sure to go and check out our website. And we're on Ironbound Radio, AM 1640, every Tuesday night from 6 to 7:30. If you're in the Newark area, check us out on Ironbound 1640, or you could always go to their website, www.ir1640amradio.com. So be sure to go and check that out. As always, my tag team partner on the line, Dave, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Ready to go. Let's go, brother.
Jam-packed show tonight. Now, really excited. We have a couple of things going on. We have C.W. Smith, who works at a website called Powerbomb Wrestling News. He's going to be joining us in a little bit, giving us some insider information, what's going on, what he's reporting on. So excited to see what sort of stories he may have for us. And we got the one and only Ricky Morton calling in tonight in the second half of the show. Real excited to hear from him. Great stuff tonight, Dave.
Yeah, no, jam-packed show. Powerbomb Pro Wrestling, I follow them on Facebook, and they got some pretty, insightful stuff, that I've been reading since I've been following them. In particular, a story that we'll probably touch on when he comes on the air, a story about the Rock and the departure post-WrestleMania, and some new stuff that he's been reporting that other websites really haven't touched on or don't have any knowledge of. So I'm excited for our listeners to hear what he's got to say regarding that and, the CM Punk rumors as well. And, of course, Ricky Morton, we met Ricky at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and we managed to get him over here on the Ken Reedy Show for tonight. And I'm pretty pumped and excited for the listeners to hear what Ricky Morton's got to say about, the past and the present and, potentially the future. So it's gonna be a fun show.
Yeah, I love listening to the legends tell us about yesteryear. And, you guys out there who are big fans of the history of wrestling, It's been a real cool experience for me, but being part of NWA on Fire. The next 3 weeks on our TV show, we're showcasing Hall of Famers. So be sure to check them out. If you don't know, if you get MeTV, check out the MeTV website to see local affiliates where you can pick up MeTV, or go to NWAonfire.com, check out their website. But yours truly, I've been hosting the show for I did on Friday. And the next 2 weeks, we're just showcasing Hall of Famers. I mean, you want to check that out. If you love the history of wrestling, we have matches with – I mean, we had a match on Friday night, a battle royal that Andre the Giant was in, and Bobo Brazil. We have stuff with Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. So be sure to check out NWA on Fire over the next couple weeks. Really cool, interesting stuff. Definitely neat. Seeing the stuff that NWA on Fire has archived. So little bit of history there. Ricky Morton later on giving us some history. And let's get into the present. You know, the past few weeks, obviously, for, you know, it's WrestleMania season, been WWE heavy. So we thought tonight, why not lead? And we'll start the show off talking a little TNA. So, you know, TNA, I think that they've been a solid show as of late. Nothing incredible, but nothing terrible. I thought Impact this past Thursday was a good show. The one thing we'd like to center on right now, and something we talked about a while back, and, you know, it seems like they're taking our advice, but the repackaging, the retooling, the redo of one Mr. AJ Styles. Good match this past week with James Storm. I like everything they're doing right now. Now, we don't know the payoff down the road. Who knows? They could screw it up, but I'm not going to look at that right now. Let's look at the positive. I like what they're doing. I like that they're keeping it vague. You don't really know what side of things he's on. Again, and the guy can perform. So, real good match. Leaving James Storm out there to fend for himself with the Ace and Eights coming in. You know, that's real heelish, but he clotheslines Christopher Daniels. So, it's, you know, you don't know where he's going, and I like the intrigue. For the first time in a long time, Dave, I'm interested in what is coming next for AJ Styles.
Absolutely. I thought it was good stuff from him Thursday night. You know, this may sound stupid, but there's little things about his character that, you know, had changed. Obviously, his, you know, the tone in his voice, his you know, his body language, but even, you know, the physical features. I mean, he's got the 5 o'clock shadow with the beard. He's grown out his hair a little bit, kind of scruffy. You know, not so, I would say, prim and proper like he had before with the high and tight haircut. You know, and even like his ring wear. You know, some people probably, you know, try to correct me on this, but if you go back and you watch the video footage, you know, he was wearing like mostly all black, kind of, you know, darker colors for a darker tone in his character. But on his wrestling tights, I don't know if you noticed it, but there was a like a belt, like you wear like a normal belt with a buckle that you wear like on your jeans, which was a little bit odd at first. You know, was seeing that on him, but I guess it was kind of going for that like normal street look at the same time with a wrestling look too. I mean, that's just me. Like, I know that, you know, it may sound weird to you or to, you know, some of our listeners or to anybody else, but I notice just little things about guys that, like, not people really don't tend to look at. They look at the obvious, and sometimes the obvious might be negative to them. And I look at the little stuff, and I thought to myself, yeah, all right, it's pretty cool. He's, you know, comes out with a leather jacket with the hood over. He's still kind of keeping the hood, you know, incorporated into his character like he had before, but with like a leather coat. It's very, you know, and this isn't a negative, but it's very, you know, 1997 Sting-like in some ways. But for him, it's working. Like, as long as he doesn't stand in the rafters, hold a baseball bat, and paint his face, then, you know, I'm good with the transformation of one AJ Styles. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I think we're going to see a few months of, you know, I hope it doesn't drag on too long. I, you know, like, believe me, when Sting was, you know, in the Raptors doing the Crow character, that went on for over a year to the point where he had his first match with Hogan at Starrcade in 1997. I hope it doesn't reach that point where Styles, it takes him a year to make a decision with Aces and Eights. I would like to see probably a payoff, at least in that regards, where he stands, his allegiances, probably I'd say like in like 2 or 3 months. I think this can play out in 2 or 3 months and be intriguing enough where they can, you know, let this ride out and we'll come to his decision. Maybe he'll make a decision that, you know, the Slammiversary pay-per-view. And, you know, to tie in, to jump on another subject, but also tie in with this at the same time, a storyline like this is perfect for the way TNA is structuring their pay-per-view schedule and how they book some of their impacts. Like 2 weeks ago, they booked, you know, Impact with the championship matches and Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray in the ladder match, and they would be wise to probably book, let's say they announce that Styles is going to make a decision, like they do it, you know, on an Impact, like a live Impact, because they do tape the following week's Impact after they have the live viewing on television. So I think it would be best if they, when they do blow this off, don't blow it off on pay-per-view. Blow it off on television, because you're going to get more viewers on television, and then follow up with whoever he's, after he makes his decision, whoever he's going to feud with for a match at that particular pay-per-view, whether it be Slammiversary or, you know, even Bound for Glory down the road. But I like what's going on with him. I'm intrigued, and it's different for him, and sometimes different is good.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a good pick. I didn't pick up on the belt, but it's cool. I mean, the subtleties that they've added to his character are definitely working. And you know what? I agree with you. There should be some sort of payoff, but I wouldn't necessarily mind if he just, you know, there's no allegiance for a while. Like, you know, maybe he spurns Aces and Eights, but still doesn't, you know, carry the TNA flag. You know, it's still just a loner. You know, I loved how the match ended the other night, where it's, I'll beat up Storm, and then I'll clothesline Christopher Daniels, and then I'll turn my back on everyone when Ace and Eight shows up. You know, I wouldn't mind if AJ stays like that for a while, if we get a payoff where, you know, whatever, he punches out Bully Ray, but at the same time, you know, he pushes Hulk Hogan or something, where he just, you know, he's not allying himself with anyone. And I do like, you know, the Sting thing, it worked back in the day. But I like this, because this is more realistic. This is more, you know, look, people go through phases in life, and people go through periods of their time where there are dark, you know, periods they go through, dark times. And that's, you know, all of us who have gone through, like, these periods of time in our lives, you know, we didn't necessarily, you know, paint our face and hide in the rafters of our job, you know, so to speak. But, you know, to grow a beard and to just be wearing black and just kind of be brooding, it's more tied to reality. It's more what the rest of us would do if we were kind of going through something at the time. So, I mean, I like what they're doing. He was a guy in desperately need of a repackaging, and, you know, I just like this loner mentality. It's just, like you said, Dave, the biggest question with anything, you know, when it comes to wrestling is, you know, what exactly is the payoff going to be? Where are they going to go with the character? And, you know, things are new and fresh, and they become old and stale really quickly in the world of wrestling, especially with, you know, shows on, you know, for TNA once a week, WWE a couple times a week. I mean, you know, you got to have that payoff down the road. But, yeah, Slammiversary, I mean, having time to develop the storyline, develop where exactly AJ's going, you know, maybe you get the payoff at Slammiversary, but I just think all positive right now as far as where AJ's going. And you know what, Dave, pretty solid match, and I really like the finish, making James Storm tap out at the end.
Yeah, that was different. I like that because, you know, I mentioned, you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about a possible Kofi Kingston heel turn that was rumored. And I said in that conversation that Kofi had to change his in-ring style to wrestle more like a heel, because if he kept doing the same stuff, he was going to keep getting the same babyface reactions, because regardless, if anybody flip-flops and flies around the ring, you're going to get a ooh, ah, and people are going to cheer, and you'll get your, you know, your this is awesome chance or whatever. If Styles kept doing some of that same stuff, I'm not saying he's making a full-fledged heel turn, but he's got a darker edge to him. He's going to have to wrestle a little bit more aggressively and not be so acrobatic. And having a submission move like that and changing his arsenal a little bit, that's what impresses me a lot about guys, is when they change their arsenal and to go along with their character. And having a submission move and making somebody, you know, tap out, and which is the ultimate, you know, FU to say I quit, so to speak, in wrestling, to have him do that really works well with his darker character, and it makes him more aggressive to have that kind of move or a submission hold, I should say, and it will definitely help further down the line with other storylines. Let's say, just for argument's sake, he were to have a storyline with Kurt Angle, and it's all about the ankle lock versus whatever he called this, you know, this leg submission move that he's doing. I mean, you could play off like that. There's so many different options that they could go with this. And I think they're really going in the right positive direction. And if you're listening out there, TNA Wrestling, you're welcome for the suggestion about repackaging AJ Styles, because you definitely heard it here first on the Ken Reedy Show.
Yeah, and you know, and you're right. I mean, to me, this is really showing how talented AJ is. And you know, we've talked to Dr. Rice on the show, Dr. Reese, on the show, expert on in-ring psychology. And you know, you do find a lot of times in wrestling that, you know, certain guys, you know, may have a heel turn, face turn. They're working a certain character, but their moveset doesn't necessarily fit the character they're portraying, you know. And you gotta, when you're talking in-ring psychology, when you're talking about the psychology of a character, you're talking about following through. You don't just, you know, hit that psychology and character development in your promos. You gotta hit it in your promos, but it's not just the promos. It's the promos. It's how you walk down to the ring. It's your interaction with the fans. And then it's physically how you work a match. And there are little subtleties as far as working a match where you can tweak your character, change your character. And I think AJ, this is one of those things where we're seeing truly how talented AJ can be. And subtle changes like that, that submission hold at the end. You know, if we want to facilitate this character, and you bring up a great opponent, if he actually gets Kurt Angle to tap in that hold, I mean, that'd be tremendous, putting this character over and still having him not ally himself with anybody. So, you know, you don't know how long you can go with the guy just brooding and not really telling people where his head is at. But for right now, I think everything is working. And again, you know, you watch things and you watch storylines. And, you know, I mean, I'm curious. I'm enjoying Ace and AIDS for the time being. And I'm curious to see each and every week where they're going to go. I like seeing Bully Ray. You know, guy cuts a mean promo. But as far as, you know, real solid intrigue, you know, that idea that I really want to see next week where they're going to go, where this character is going to develop. You know, for me, for this wrestling fan, first time in a long time that I'm really like, next week on Impact, I want to see how they further AJ's character. I really want to see where exactly they're going to go with that. And that's tremendous for him, and I'm curious to see how the year progresses. But overall, I thought Impact, you know, I thought that was real solid development, and I thought Impact overall was a real solid show. Again, I'm still enjoying the Ace and Eights storyline. They've, you know, one of the criticisms we had for a time being was that Ace and Eights was made up of a bunch of jobbers. And every time, you know, they're supposed to be the most feared group in wrestling, and they just kept losing. Not the case anymore, Dave.
No, not the case anymore. I will say though, you know, you mentioned, you know, Aces and Eights being a group of jobbers. You know, I noticed this the past few weeks too, watching Impact. You know, Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe. Yes, they're both young in the business, but. And this is a good opportunity for them for a main storyline to be a part of. But at the same time, you know, and I'm no expert, but it's just to this wrestling fan, at least with Wes Briscoe, he comes off like he's not comfortable in his own skin with this character. Like a lot of the stuff that he says and does is pretty forced. And it just doesn't seem genuine. Like he's not really like tapping into the character, so to speak. I'm not really, you know, too keen on Wes Briscoe. Garrett Bischoff, kind of the same thing. He seems to speak better than Briscoe does, and his in-ring is solid for a guy who's, you know, young in the business. But I just don't, it's not clicking with me with those two guys. I like, and we talked about this on the show a few months ago, I wasn't really too thrilled with it at first, but now it's starting to really, you know, grow on me. But, you know, Mr. Anderson. He was kind of an island unto himself for a long period of time, and they didn't really know what to do with him. He'd fluctuate. He turned heel and babyface so many times, more than you know, Brutus Beefcake's character changes. I mean, seriously, like, he was just all over the place. And now they've put him in a position where he almost has somewhat of an important role in Aces and Eights. You know, I don't know what his title is in the group. I don't think there really is a title, but he's got a pretty important role, almost like a recruiter of sorts. You know, he's been trying to recruit AJ Styles, and I like where they're going with him. You know, they revealed D'Lo Brown as the vice president, and I'm not really sitting with that either. Like, he doesn't do anything for me, and he's not doing anything on the show. Like, maybe a couple of interferences there, but he just kind of stands there, and he's just human furniture when Bully and D-Von are out there. But I did love the interaction that Bully and D-Von had with Joseph Parks in the locker room when they attacked him and humiliated him and threw him in the shower. I've been liking that the two of them are back together, and like in a group, but not as a tag team. But I also like that they kind of reunited backstage together in a vignette, and they kind of brought some of that old Dudley Boys persona, like with the bullying. Well, you know, no pun intended to Bully Ray, but with the bullying of Joseph Parks, which was kind of cool, and I like that. I wouldn't mind if they got rid of maybe a couple of guys like Briscoe and Bischoff, and maybe Briscoe and Bischoff can go work in OVW and TNA's developmental territory, and they plug in a couple of guys into the group. Because, to me, it still seems like it's Bully, D-Von, and Anderson, and the rest of the guys are just like, there's no real development of character with these guys. I know they're trying to really put Briscoe and Bischoff over by having them work with Kurt Angle, but it's just not clicking with me. I don't know about you.
I hear what you're saying with Briscoe. I mean, I do like, and I think they got a further development. I kind of like Doc and Knox kind of together as almost a tag team. I'd like to see them, you know.
Yeah, I like that too.
Maybe in the tag team picture, which, on a side note, aside from Ace and Eight, and I'd love to see those two move into the tag picture. TNA's done a real nice job at rebuilding their tag team division. I mean, they took single stars, but there's a real legit exciting tag team picture right now in TNA. I love what Aries and Rude do together, very entertaining stuff. Chavo and Supermex, and obviously Bad Influence. Why not throw these guys from Ace and Eights into the mix going after the tag belts? But I hear what you're saying, that he just doesn't look, Briscoe just doesn't look entirely comfortable. And again, I'm curious to see where the storyline goes. One thing they could go with, and we're both Sons of Anarchy fans. I've always been, that's kind of why I started watching the show. I've always been fascinated with that subculture, that motorcycle club subculture. There is a ceremony. There is you can be kicked out of the band. You have your patch removed. Sometimes there are things very extreme. If you have a tattoo of the motorcycle club, that either has to get blackened out or burned or cut off in some extreme cases. So I wouldn't necessarily mind if they wound up booting someone out and we saw some facsimile of that ceremony with Ace and Eights booting someone out. It seems like for whatever reason, and maybe because they're younger guys, that they are kind of forcing Bischoff and Briscoe kind of down our throats, and they're really trying to put the two of them over. I agree with you. I don't know how much those two guys are working for me, but I separate it. Like, if I start to analyze each little thing, I guess I could be critical, but as a whole, I'm enjoying the Ace and Eight storyline. And to take a break from the Ace and Eight conversation, we'll get back to TNA, and we want to get out to your calls. We have some breaking news, unfortunate breaking news from Powerbomb Pro Wrestling. This page will be closing down. Thanks to all the fans for their continued support, and please continue following and believing your passion for the best sport in the world, pro wrestling. So, of all days, we have someone from Pro Wrestling, Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News, scheduled on the show to interview. He will not be able to be on the show today because they're shutting down, which is unfortunate. So, C.W. Smith, you know, hopefully we'll get him on the show in the future. He's also a guy who's training to be a wrestler, and he's involved in NWA Edge, so another guy in the NWA. So we'd like to get him back on and talk wrestling at some point in the future. But for now, due to circumstances beyond their control, they're actually being forced to shut down. So once things settle down with Powerbomb and C.W. Smith and everything, we'll get them back on and talk wrestling. So, you know, Dave, I mean, it's funny because we, for the past couple of weeks, it was like we just kind of discovered it and caught some really interesting stories on there and thought it would be really cool to have a rep over. So, unfortunate, they're shutting down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, when we talked about this in, you know, like our pre-show meetings, one of the reasons why I wanted to exploit this story, whether it's true or not, is because a lot of the internet sites, the main big websites like WrestleZone and 411 and Pro Wrestling Insider really didn't, you know, jump on this hot topic of The Rock leaving after WrestleMania. And, you know, they brought up some good points. I don't know if you would like to discuss it. I'm more than willing to, you know, bring up some of them. But apparently there was talk that, you know, The Rock wanted – he had talked – like, the relationship was kind of strained going into WrestleMania with the company between himself, you know, and Triple H. Because he dealt directly with Vince when he made this deal, and Triple H has been more hands-on with it. Him and Triple H kind of have a love-hate kind of relationship. It's, you know, pretty much touch and go. They respect each other, and they respect what they've done in the business, but there's some, you know, underlying heat that probably hasn't been resolved. Rock apparently had told the company that he will not work the Extreme Rules pay-per-view the Friday before WrestleMania. And then there was talk that he had stormed, you know, he did not like the finish for WrestleMania, losing to John Cena. And then he stormed out of MetLife Stadium, you know, saying he was injured, told the doctors that, you know, he'll go see his own doctor, but didn't indicate he was leaving. And one of the rumored plans was to do The Rock, you know, Rock to Wrestle with Extreme Rules, but to do him, John Cena, and CM Punk in a triple threat match for the title. Because those were the three guys that were in the title picture, you know, for the better part of this, you know, first few months of the year. And then, of course, we know the story that he didn't, you know, show up at Raw the next day, and they tried calling him, and he didn't get in contact with them until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they got 5 hours till showtime, so they had to frantically rewrite the show. And they were saying, you know, the injury thing came up, but if he was injured, why didn't he tell them before he left? I mean, there's so many different, you know, stories going around. You know, this is what Powerbomb Pro Wrestling has reported. There was even talk of when they rewrote the show, of doing Mark Henry and Ryback and John Cena in a triple threat for Extreme Rules, but that didn't come to fruition. And from what I understand, when they brought the idea up of The Rock appearing on Raw to cut a promo, even if he was injured, they wanted Brock Lesnar to take him out, and they set up next year's big main events for WrestleMania, The Rock and Brock Lesnar, and apparently The Rock had turned that down. Due to the fact that he didn't want to work with Lesnar because of the way Lesnar was booked. Lesnar has only won one match officially since he's been back over in a year. He's wrestled three times and has won one out of the three matches. But he had requested that he work with The Undertaker because he thinks that'll be the biggest match that ever takes place at WrestleMania. And from what the reports say, it indicates that if Rock wanted to work with Undertaker, then that would probably be The Rock's last match with the company. But he would not come back, and he would just make movies and ride off into the sunset. I don't know how true that is, but it's very interesting all this stuff has come about. And one of the reasons, like I said, why I have latched on to Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News for some of my news, you know, to cite some of the sources, if you remember a few months back, when they had that Q&A with The Rock and John Cena on Raw, and they announced WWE Legends were going to be a part of it, Ric Flair was supposed to be one of those guys, and it ended up Booker T ended up replacing Ric Flair in that segment. But Powerbomb Pro Wrestling was the first one to report that. They reported that like
mid-afternoon, I'd say about 2 or 3 o'clock, I remember. It was on their Facebook, and I went to go check all the dirt sheets online. There was no sign of it whatsoever. And then when it made the dirt sheets finally, it was at like 6:30, 7 o'clock that they said that Flair was scheduled to be a part of it, but he had a blood clot in his leg and he had to leave. So that's why I've kind of, you know, taken into account that some of these stories that they're reporting with The Rock and then, of course, the other stuff I just mentioned could potentially be true. And if this is all true about The Rock, then to me, as a wrestling fan, like, I've defended this with him as far as him coming back and it being good for business. And I know a lot of people there don't like the fact that he's been back and he's come sporadically and he's gone over on guys. And, you know, he comes and goes when he pleases. But this time now, if he were to come back again after him supposedly walking out because he didn't have things go his way and he wants to work with Undertaker and walk away after that, I'd love to see the match with him and Undertaker. It'd be amazing. Streak versus The Rock, I mean, that would be cool, but I think he should come back and put over some of the younger guys. What about put over a Ryback? Or what about put over an Alberto Del Rio? Or what about, if you want to have a big money match, have a big money match with him and Triple H, too. They had a great rivalry in the late 90s, and it really helped the both of them get into the main event scene in the WWE. So, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts on are on it, Ken, but, I mean, it's I'm kind of leaning towards believing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The stuff with The Rock, you just get, as time goes on as a wrestling fan, it just seems like you just get more and more soured on things. And if this stuff is true, I mean, even all the injury stuff that you're hearing, you're reading stuff, seemed odd. You know, torn abdominal tendon, but I'm not going to have surgery. As well, look, I had a hernia, okay? And there's this whole thing, he's not having surgery. Now, I know that when I had my hernia, that, you know, your intestines pop through the abdominal wall. And what happens is if you don't have the surgery, the abdominal wall will heal around that part of your intestines. And then that part of your intestines will die, which causes all sorts of other health issues. So when the first reports were coming out that, like, he was injured and that's why he left, and it just seemed odd to me. And then on Twitter, he's not having the surgery. We're like, how can he not have the surgery? And then today, supposedly, he's going to have the surgery. And there was he actually tweeted, you know, doctor poking the intestines back through my abdominal wall. And that's essentially what, I mean, that's not really a big deal. Like that, you know, I was doing that. I remember it grossed people out, but I would just poke my intestines back before I had the surgery. I mean, the hernia itself, at least for me, was not real painful. The surgery sucked. But all the reports were coming out about, you know, the surgery and not having the surgery, and, you know, and then you just heard, like, well, he could have just cut a promo, and people are annoyed he didn't cut a promo. And like I said, when I had the hernia itself was not painful. I did a lot. I was fairly active while I had the hernia. You would think that The Rock, with that sort of injury, could have been on Raw, could have either taken one bump, or if not that, just cut a promo. So all the stories that you were hearing just gelling. And then, like you said, you start reading the news coming out of Powerbomb that, you know, that he wasn't happy with this and he stormed off. And then that starts to make more sense. Now it makes sense. Like, all right, he's getting pissy. They're floating stories out there to kind of cover it up. And, you know, that sounds more realistic to me than the stuff that was coming out initially. So
there was one other thing too I forgot to mention that was in that story that they talked about, and it was the fact that there's still legitimate heat between The Rock and John Cena. Even though they are cordial with each other, respectful with each other from reports I've read, there is still legitimate heat between those two, even to the point where from what I understand, that whole passing of the torch thing might, you know, when they raised their arms at the end of the show, might not have been planned. And then that was something that Cena did on his own, waiting at the top of the ramp for The Rock to come up. But if you notice the look on The Rock's face, I mean, I don't know if it was him playing into the character, the fact that he lost, or if this was legitimate. But, you know, when Cena raised his hand, Rock had his head down, almost in, like, disgust. So I don't know if that was him playing up that he lost or if it was just him legitimately being upset. But to me, like, and don't get me wrong, I love The Rock. Like, he's entertaining. Like, I mean, not all lately, you know, in the past few years, his stuff is kind of, you know, some of it's been funny, but some of it's been, you know, the same old shtick that he's done. But I loved The Rock back in the day. I thought he was one of the best things going on TV, you know, for the WWE. But if this report is true, I mean, I hope it's true in the sense that he comes back to wrestle The Undertaker, because I think it would be pretty cool if him and Undertaker wrestled. They didn't have too much interaction, you know, during The Rock's time in the company early on, but they had enough where it's fresh enough where they, if they were to put these two together, hook up at WrestleMania, it would be huge. But like I said, I would like to see him put over some of the younger talent in the future. You know, he talks about wanting to have the greatest match of all time and entertain the crowd. Well, you got guys like Dolph Ziggler, who's widely popular, and Ryback, and, you know, why are they not big enough on The Rock's level for him to get involved in a storyline with them? I mean, I just don't get it. But yeah, it's all. I mean, and this is all hearsay. You know, this is just reports I've read. This is not fact that I know. Well, I'm starting to believe that it could be fact just by the way things have played itself out. And now he's going to have surgery. And there were rumors of doing a Rock match with John Cena possibly at SummerSlam. Now that might not be the case, because The Rock is going to be filming Hercules from May till October. So if we do see The Rock, it might not be till when the big payday comes, WrestleMania season. So
yeah, this whole situation with The Rock is just weird. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of non sequiturs with you know, where all this stuff is going. It just doesn't all add up. And, you know, you do find it interesting. I mean, and you know, I get it. And I know there are a lot of guys out there that hate John Cena, and I get it. I understand the criticism. However, if you could separate yourself from that for a second, he is the face of the company. The Rock is a part-time guy. Fact. There's no debating that. Cena is the face of the company. The Rock is a part-time guy. The right move for the business is for Rock to put Cena over. Period. Now, you can talk all you want about, you know, well, John Cena sucks, or Rock is so much better, or how, well, you know, I want The Rock to win, I just want to see Cena lose, whatever the case is. But as far as, like if he's just really upset, if he's pissy about the finish, I mean, he's grown up in the business. You would just think, well, The Rock should get it. Like, that's what you have to do. That's the right move. You could not have Cena lose 2 years in a row to a part-time guy. And you're right, for him to come back again and have a match with The Undertaker, yeah, I mean, would I get excited about that? Absolutely. You know, I mean, with everything that's gone on, I mean, I'll be firmly in Taker's corner. I mean, I'd be rooting for him in that match. But, I mean, you know, yeah, it would be exciting. It would be something. There'd be some doubt, you know. Does The Rock, is he the one that finally ends the streak? I mean, that's all fine and good, but it does bury the younger guys on the card. I mean, you got two part-time guys. You're going to market, you know, WrestleMania around that when both of them could have a match with someone younger and kind of help to put them over. It's really interesting, the news we're hearing about him, and who knows what's true and what's conjecture, but things just aren't adding up. So we were hoping that Powerbomb could have helped us kind of draw some of the lines and figure things out, but unfortunately they'll be closing their site down. CW Smith, just talked to him online, but seems like a real solid dude. So, you know, once things settle and, you know, he's back on track, I'm sure we'll have him on the show. We'll talk wrestling news and maybe talk a little NWA wrestling. So we're going to go out to the call soon. 357-838-9815 is the number to call. You want to talk Rock? You want to talk TNA? You want to talk anything going on in the business? You know, who knows where this show's going right now? So whatever you want to talk about on the other side of the commercial break. We'll be right back, guys.
The word is spreading. More and more people are switching to Ambit Energy.
Well, one of my neighbors switched, and then I switched. Now the whole neighborhood has Ambit.
Who doesn't want to save money?
The word is spreading. switching to Ambit Energy is rewarding in more ways than one.
I signed up and got a travel reward. That's nice.
Oh, I get to save on energy and on travel?
There's a cruise for two out there just a few thousand kilowatts away. I can almost smell the sunscreen.
The word is spreading. Ambit Energy even lets you earn free energy.
When I get 15 friends to switch, I get free energy. I have 15 friends. At least I think I do.
Hey, I'd be telling people to switch to Ambit anyway.
If you'd like to switch to Ambit Energy, listen to the following contact information closely. Then spread the word.
Joe Miller is an Ambit Energy independent consultant. If you want to upgrade or be a consultant, visit his website, mainline.joinambit.com. That's mainline, M-A-I-N-L-I-N-E, .joinambit.com. Ambit is available in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., Illinois, Texas, and California. There you have it. Check out Ambit Energy. You can save some money on your energy costs. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. The best in pro wrestling talk. And before we get to the calls, I got to, you know, we'd be remiss if I didn't mention that today, the oldest living legend, the oldest wrestler alive right now today, Angelo Savoldi, 99 years young. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Angelo. Wishing you at least 99 more. So great. I hear he still runs like a couple miles a day. So good for him. Oldest living wrestler, legend. So happy birthday, Angelo, 99 years young. We're going to go right out to the calls now at this time. As always, we're going to start with our man, Tony, is on the line. Tony, are you there?
Hey, guys. I'm here.
How you doing, buddy?
So yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what to make of all this stuff with The Rock, but you know, like I said, if he do, you know, like if he you know, like I don't know, like as of now, I guess he is having surgery or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, if he is going to be around next year, I mean, having him versus Undertaker at WrestleMania could be a big draw. But if he's going to be around again next year, you know. In the next year or whatever, I mean, if they could have him put over, you know, something like, you know, like Dolph Ziggler, or give Dolph certainly give him more credibility if he got a win over The Rock, you know. I mean, even CM Punk, I think, you know, because Rock went over on him twice. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, it's like you can have, you know, Rock put him over, you know, like in a rematch. So, you know, just to put over, you know, like I said, just to put over some young guy, you know, some younger guys, you know, like I said, Dolph going over on The Rock, or even Del Rio, or I mean, even Jack Swagger might get more credibility if Rock put him over.
Here's an idea. You know, I know that I mentioned about working with the young guys, but you know, I also talked about working with Triple H, and seeing that Triple H is the boss. Now he's going to need something to do next year for WrestleMania. What's he going to do? Wrestle Brock Lesnar again, or is he going to have, you know, a match with Shawn Michaels where you find your smile on a pole match? I mean, you know,
I doing the booking, maybe.
If they ever did that, they can thank me for it, and I won't take the credit. But anyhow, what if they had The Rock come back, let's say around WrestleMania time, and if you remember, the night after WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw, Booker T said that The Rock has a right to a rematch for the title. You know, obviously, you know, The Rock can get a title shot, whoever the champion is. Let's say, just for argument's sake, the champion is CM Punk again, and they want to do Rock and CM Punk. But Triple H comes out and says, no, Rock, you're not going to get your title shot. You walked out on the company the night after WrestleMania because things didn't go your way, because John Cena beat you, and you didn't want to come back and grace the presence of the fans. So you could set something up with the two of them, almost incorporate this, if it's real, this real-life news into something, and then you get, let's say, for instance, Triple H says, no, you're not going to get a rematch just yet. You got to defeat Ryback next week on Raw. And then Hunter kind of just, like, takes it away from him before the match even starts. You can advertise the hell out of it that Rock's going to be there, but they go –
going to have the match. Bell rings. Hunter comes out and he stops the match and says, nah, you know what? I think I got a better idea. Not this week. Next week, come back and we'll do something else or, you know, figure something else out. But, you know, that could be something that they could do with The Rock and incorporate this story, like I said, if it's real, into their storyline. And, you know, it would, so, you know, a lot of people, they like shoot style storylines. Well, I mean, if this is true, this could probably be a hot storyline between the two of them heading into next year's WrestleMania if they wanted to go that route. Just an idea, Stanford. Remember, just an idea.
I honestly, like you said, I think it's a great idea. I really do. I think that's it. They blurred the lines a little bit and, you know, CEO Triple H or whatever he is, front office Triple H comes out and says, sorry, Rock, you know, no, we have a lot of history, but you walked out on us. And I mean, just the promos those two can do off each other and knowing the history going way back, I think that would be tremendous. That would be an amazing storyline that you lost your shot at the title. Good stuff, Dave. I like it.
Thank you.
What else you got? What did you think of this week in pro wrestling? I mean, you know, and you're a blogger and you blog on all the shows. I thought it was a decent week of in-ring action this week, Tony.
I did too, for the most part. Yeah, like I thought Impact was good. You know, but, you know, getting back to that, you know, like the whole AJ Styles storyline. I thought the match with him and James Storm was really good. You know, I also liked that he had that, you know, like new submission in his in his repertoire or whatever. But I thought that. You know, because I'm guessing that, you know, it's like maybe like a Slammiversary, he'll eventually, you know, like turn on Aces and Eights, or not turn on him, but, you know, it's like, you know, show that he's not on that, you know, like as part of that stable. I don't know. I mean, and may, I don't know, maybe they'll, you know, like they'll do him and Bully Ray for the, Bound for Glory. They can do the two of them for the belt. Yeah,
all good ideas. What do you think right now of the Aces and Eights, though? Are you enjoying them? We talked a little bit about Briscoe and just the character not fitting. What are your thoughts on Aces and Eights?
Bubba and Devon are outstanding. You know, those guys are awesome. But as far as the rest of this, you know, it's like, Mr. Anderson is like, he's always been a very hit and miss guy with me. Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff, they don't really seem to work for me either. You know, like, yeah, they had matches with Kurt Angle, but, you know, it's, I don't know. I still think those guys are still need some seasoning. You know, I mean, this past Thursday was the, I don't remember seeing Doc or Mike Knox or Knox or whatever the hell his name is. I don't think we had seen him in a while before this week. So, I mean, you know, like I said, maybe like do the, like put the tag titles on them just to put more, you know, championships and Aces and Eights.
Put them over as, like, you know, such a dominating group, I mean, it would stand to reason. I mean, at some point, why not give them all the belts before you start to tear them down? I mean, that's the thing with these groups in wrestling. You know, there's a process. You got to build them up, but then at some point, you got to tear them down. They have two of the belts in their faction. I mean, why not start piling in the belts over there? So, I'd like to see it, Joe. I think that's a good idea. Tony, as always, thank you for the phone call. Tony is the best blogger in the business. Go over to KenReedyShow.com, Raw, SmackDown, and Impact blogs. If you happen to miss a show or just want some insight, go over there. He blogs for each and every show. Tony, thanks a lot for the call, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.
Thanks. And we're going to stick with the calls. Actually, you know, again, breaking news all the time. Just got this in, from our man Carlos, who continues to help us out. But just so you guys know, and I can't recommend this promotion enough, but House of Hardcore is returning on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. And they're going to be taking over the Philadelphia National Guard Armory in Philadelphia. That is the National Guard Armory in Philadelphia. And we are working on right now having a representative from House of Hardcore on an upcoming episode. So we are trying to have some sort of involvement going forward in House of Hardcore. But I know right now the last House of Hardcore, the Young Bucks wrestled London and Hendricks. London Kendricks, and that match was tremendous, and they're getting a rematch on this future show, and I believe John Morrison has also been signed on to for this event. So House of Hardcore, June 22nd, and we are currently negotiating to try and have the Kennedy Show have some sort of involvement on the show. So there you have it. Check them out. Go check out House of Hardcore. Get your tickets, because the last show was absolutely tremendous. And we're going to go continue with the phone calls, and we're going to go out. We got Mr. Trivia on the line. Mr. Trivia, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Doing all right. How are you this evening?
Good. Dave, I couldn't agree with you more. That's why you're the best co-host in the business.
On what set?
When you made that point about The Rock, what they should do with The Rock and Triple H.
Oh, Triple H?
Really? Oh,
I like
that. Oh.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
I mean,
well,
it's a money match. I mean, I'm not to take away time from your call, but I mean, it's a money match. I mean, the rivalry that they had in the late 90s, like, really helped. For instance, you know, summer 98, they had a series of matches, television pay-per-views, and it pretty much culminated at SummerSlam from Madison Square Garden in 1998. They had a ladder match for the Intercontinental title, and Triple H finally got the win over The Rock. And, you know, he didn't have the title for long because he was hurt, but that was the launching point for, like, The Rock to, like, really be on his own and move away from the Nation. I mean, at one point, that New York crowd was so hot for him that, like, everything he did, they were cheering him. And, you know, just the intensity that the two of them brought, and like Ken said, you know, the microphone work that they could have building up to it, you know, it could be a huge match. You know, it could be along the lines of, I would say, like what Triple H and The Undertaker was, the end of an era, because it could be the last time that you ever see Triple H and The Rock of their era compete against one another. And I mean, you don't have to promote it as end of an era, but like you could say like the final encounter, and like bring up the history between the two of them, and of course the present stuff that they were to incorporate in the storyline. I just think, I mean, it's a match that I think a lot of old school wrestling fans and the current ones today would love to see. If the John Cena fans, the 7-8-year-olds that have never seen that stuff before, but they know who Triple H and The Rock are, I wouldn't be surprised that they'd want to see that match too.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, guys, a couple things. First of all, I just wanted to let the wrestling Ox Baker is doing very well. He's resting comfortably at St. Francis Hospital in Connecticut. And also this Thursday coming up, Mr. Trivia is looking forward to seeing his first TNA show. I'm all psyched about it. I've never seen TNA before other than on TV, but I've never seen it at the arena, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is about 90 minutes from where I live.
That's awesome. So, yeah, so next Sunday, I definitely would like an insider report on what the crowd was like and what it was like. I've always, any live TNA show I've gone to, I've always enjoyed. They're usually a lot of fun live. But, definitely give us a report next week on what you thought of the crowd.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get the VIP treatment because I told them I knew Ken Reedy and Dave Rosenbluth, and they're going to give me the VIP treatment.
They might kick you out.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about that. But, hey, guys, I just wanted to let you know that I received a phone call last night on the Top Rope Report that there's possibly something in the works where a friend of mine is trying to get me a call-in interview with DOC, Luke Gallows. He knows a guy who knows Luke Gallows. And he called me up last night and he said, how'd you like to do an interview on your show with Luke Gallows? And for a minute there, the name didn't sound familiar at first. And it's like, oh, wait, you mean the guy DOC? Okay. It's like, yeah, sure. So keep me posted. So we're probably going to be doing something. He's going to be giving me a call back by the end of the week. And I'll see if it went through or not. And if it did, I'll do the interview, and I'll definitely post it for you guys.
Cool, yeah. And just, you know, that's awesome. A current TNA star. Why don't you let everyone know if they want to check out you and your Top Rope show, how they can check that out.
Exactly. You can check out the Top Rope Report on Facebook. You can go to Top – well, you can just, check it out when I post it on the Top Rope page, or you can go to Top Rope Report on YouTube. You can check all that out. There's interviews. There's promos on there. Hopefully we're going to be getting a word with Ox Baker when he gets out of the hospital, probably tomorrow or Tuesday, to check on how he's feeling. They thought it was a heart attack, but come to find out it wasn't. He's just overworked. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, you're 79 years old. Time to slow down a little bit. But, pleasure talking. Yeah,
that's good news that it was not a heart attack. Give, you know, the best to Ox from myself and Dave, and glad to hear he's recovering, and thanks a lot for the call.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you Tuesday.
Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that's, you know, Dave, some encouraging news. It wasn't, you know, reports were saying that it was a heart attack, but it was not a heart attack, so good news. Glad he's resting comfortably. You know, it's funny, I had a friend once that they thought he had a heart attack, and talk about a convergence of events. He was, you know, a little bit stressed out. He had some anxiety. He was kind of anxious and got a little bit of shortness of breath, and he had started a new workout program. I didn't know it, but he had a slight tear in his pectoral. And so all those things like combined at one time, and he was convinced he was having a heart attack, and it just so happened it was like all the other factors together. So good news. You never know like what the human body is going to do sometimes. So all the best to Ox Baker. Glad it wasn't a heart attack. Glad he is recovering. We're going to stick with the phones because we have Dank on the line. Dank, are you there?
What, no entrance music this week?
Oh,
not there.
Oh, now you're bigger than the rest of the callers now because you got entrance music one week.
How you guys doing?
Doing all right. How are you? What do you got for us?
I'm doing good. Glad to hear you guys are safe, as always. I don't know. You were talking about this whole Rock thing going on. Has The Rock really, like, I know his persona is always to be bigger than everybody else, but has art imitated life, or has life imitated art to where The Rock really believes as a person? Is Dwayne Johnson, there you go, that's how you make it easier. Does Dwayne Johnson really believe that he is better than everybody else because he's from a different era? Like, has he forgotten that at some point there was some big-name wrestler to help him get over, to help him make him a name? Yeah, he's got, you know, his if I'm not mistaken, a third-generation wrestler in his family, or second?
No, third. He's third.
Third-generation wrestler. Yeah, you know, he's got the background in it, but to still make it in the company, you need more than just a name. And if all this is true, he's going to either get a big reality check from somebody, hopefully somebody like Triple H, or he's just going to fall from grace. And before he realizes it, no pun intended, but let's hope he doesn't hit rock bottom, that he is better than everybody else. And the next thing you know, everybody runs, you know, everybody's not around anymore.
And, you know, and all this stuff, all the stories are, you know, it's purely speculation. And you don't know. We're talking about it. You don't know what's true and what's not. You know, it makes for fun talk radio, and you talk and debate. Look, fame and money can change people. I don't know The Rock. I don't know him personally. You hear some good out there. You hear some bad. Who knows? Who knows what's true and what's not? Could the fame and fortune have gone to his head? Absolutely. Could the fact that so many wrestling fans out there keep saying, oh, I long for the Attitude Era, and that was The Rock's heyday, could that have gone to his head? Absolutely. You know, The Rock is great. He is one of the best talkers ever in the history of wrestling, to the point where I would probably disagree, but if you were under the belief that he was the greatest talker ever, not going to get mad at you. You know, he's just that good. You know, he's a very talented performer. He is, you know, to me, bar none, he's the most successful wrestler outside of wrestling ever. You know, you had Hogan kind of try the whole movie thing and get into, and he had a TV show, but, you know, none of it really quite seemed to work. You know, Stone Cold has kind of moved into, having a decent career with a lot of straight-to-video movies. The Rock is doing solid blockbusters. So, you know, is it possible that all this has gone to his head? Yeah. Is it possible that he just thinks he's bigger than everyone else? Yeah, but who knows? I just, for me, and again, that's why it makes it for fun talk radio, just the things weren't adding up to me for him just not to be there on Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, and then all the different reports we're hearing on the injuries. Nothing was really adding up to me. So who knows, but it makes for good talk show fodder, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to defend The Rock, but, you know, one of the reports I read, this didn't come from Powerbomb. This actually came from, I want to say, The Spotlight, which is also on Facebook. They also have an internet show, but I'm not going to promote them because we got to promote our show. Anyhow, they made mention that The Rock, you know, in the movie business, The Rock didn't take a guaranteed salary for the movie Pain and Gain with Mark Wahlberg. He offered to, or he opted in his contract with the movie production group to take a percentage of the gross. So Pain and Gain comes out this coming Friday. Him being a part of, if he were to have been a part of Extreme Rules, he would have needed to promote the hell out of that movie in hopes that they have a huge opening weekend or, you know, for box office numbers. It would have been difficult for him to be around. He's done it before. I mean, he did it with, you know, this past WrestleMania where he was gone for a couple of weeks to promote G.I. Joe. And that did great numbers. I don't know what his contract situation was with that, but this particular movie I read, he's only taking a percentage of the overall gross from the box office, so instead of a guaranteed salary. So maybe it was just perfect timing that, you know, and the company didn't know where he, you know, just opted to walk away because he needed to promote this movie so that he could make the most from the overall gross from the box office. I mean, I don't know. Everything's hearsay. It's all possible, but it's very disappointing if this news were to come true that this is how he handled things towards the end of his run. You know, but it could also make for some great television when he comes back too. So I kind of want to believe it, but I kind of don't. So we'll just have to, you know, see where the chips lie.
I think that if it is true, a match with Taker would probably be a wake-up call for Rock because Taker, as old as he is, or even Brock, they don't hold back. And I don't know, maybe he needs, if it is true. But like you said, it's all speculation. It's all hearsay until there's proof. But, oh, well, we'll see what happens.
Thanks a lot for the call, Dank. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, guys.
Take care. So we'll play. All right, enough of that.
All right, a caller has entrance and exit music, and I'm the goddamn co-host.
You know, it's funny. Like, I just played it. It was like coincidentally, I played like right before Dank's call last week. So it's become like part of his thing. Fandango.
Yeah, well, I wish Fandango would go.
All right, 347-838-9815 is the number to call. On the other side, we're going to have one Ricky Morton, but for now, we're going to go a day with our 50-50 news update.
Thank you very much, Ken. This is the Day 5 News Report, only heard here on the Ken Reedy Show, where I give you the top 5 most interesting and newsworthy stories of the week in professional wrestling. Our first story this week, on Thursday, the WWE's COO, Chief Operating Officer, Triple H, and Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida, unveiled plans for a brand new training facility for the WWE NXT developmental territory. The new facility will house 7 wrestling rings for talent to train and learn their craft, a state-of-the-art production room where Fulfill University students will learn to produce WWE NXT programming, as well as talent learning the production side of the business. The new training center will provide over 100 jobs to the local Orlando economy. This new project has been named the WWE Performance Training Center, and this new facility is expected to open later this summer. Free agent and former ECW, WWE, and TNA star Rob Van Dam indicated on Twitter this week that he has signed a contract. Rumors swirling around during WrestleMania weekend indicated that RVD signed a 2-year deal with the WWE after being spotted at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony as a guest of Hall of Fame inductee Booker T. No reports have confirmed a contract signing with the WWE. However, the contract he did sign was with a company called Hound Comics to release a comic book. No details of the basis of this comic book have been released, but Rob Van Dam plans to announce promotional information next week. Speaking of John Morrison, former WWE star John Morrison will be hosting a seminar at the American Legion in Chino, California on April 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. The fee is set at $40. For more information, email the IWL at insanewl321@yahoo.com. TNA Wrestling in the past few weeks have been searching for a location for the big annual Bound for Glory pay-per-view here in the year 2013. A couple of weeks ago, I reported that Chicago was one of the names rumored to host the big event. I can now announce another name, another city has been rumored to host that event as well, that being San Diego, California. But no reports have confirmed if they've decided on San Diego. And our final story this week, there is a new article posted on NJ.com, stands for New Jersey, that states workers involved with building WWE's stage and set for WrestleMania 29, WWE Fan Access, and Monday Night Raw earned approximately $1.4 million in gross salaries and benefits. 450 people, some as far away as Cleveland, Ohio, benefited financially from WWE's annual mega event coming to their area this year. Friday nights, MeTV, 11 p.m. The host of this show, Ken Reedy, he is also the host of NWA on Fire. Check it out. Friday nights, MeTV, 11 p.m. And season 9 of The Gun Show, Bob Arian, Steve Off, and El Rotundo Genioso. They've got all kinds of crazy hijinks. Check it out. YouTube/The Gun Show Web TV. And there you have it. That, my friends, is the Day 5 News Report, only heard here on The Ken Reedy Show. Ken, back to you.
Good stuff, good stuff. And we are going to get right into it because right now we're privileged. We have on the line wrestling royalty, legend, Ricky Morton on the line. Ricky, are you there?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, guys. I was just listening to the news on your radio, man. Very interesting. I liked it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. It's really great to have you on. We'd like to, you know, we love having legends on and going back and learning the history of the business. Give us a little take on how you got started with the Rock and Roll Express, how you got involved with Gibson, how you guys decided to team up. Just give us a little bit of history.
Well, guys, it's all, you know, I first started my career off at Nashville, Tennessee, for a guy named Nick Gillis, but then I went to Memphis, Tennessee at the time where Jerry Jarrett and Jerry Lawler ran the territory. But understand, I left. You know, at the time you had different territories you wrestled in, and I went down to the state of Texas, and meanwhile we were down there in the Memphis Mid-South area with Jarrett and them. They had a tag team there called the Fabulous Ones, Stan Lane and Steve Kern, and at the time, I don't know, Jerry Lawler, he came to San Antonio, Texas to wrestle, and he asked me if I'd be interested coming back to Memphis and teaming up with Robert Gibson and making another tag team. So we both went back, and we did, you know, and it was really funny, man, because We got there, they didn't know what to do. Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, Dutch Mantel, a lot of them. You know, Jerry Lawler's one really came up with the idea. And, you know, the R, Ricky and Robert, R and R, we come up, you know, finally somebody came up with the Rock and Roll Express, the name. And our debut was on that Sunday. And they really plugged it hard on the TV on that Saturday, because then TV was live every Saturday morning. But when he was running Memphis on that Sunday for some reason, I forgot, years ago. But, and understand me, man, we didn't know what we was going to do, what we was going to wear. We was just there. So Jerry Lawler brought a couple pair of his long tights. And the ones I had was like maroon colored. And a dude, the ones Robert had were like skin colored. And when he put him on from far off, he looked like he was naked. But it was all right. But then, and then we just, it was a man's having an outdoor flea market out behind the Mid South Coliseum. And me, Lawler, and Robert walked over there. And damn, dude, we had a, you know, we started buying bandanas and feathers and chains and all kinds of stuff. And we were back in the room, but it really, at first, I put that on, and when you have a lot of pride in this business, I said, God, man, I'm ashamed to go out there looking like I am, because I never did nothing like that. But we went out, and they played our music. We come out, dude, and the two guys we worked with, I can't remember, it was Pago and somebody, but it clicked right off the bat. And when it clicked like that, you know, we come out from the match, so I remember one of the fans walked up to me out back after the show, and he goes, damn, man, I didn't know if y'all was Indians or gypsies. So, but from there it went on, man. And, brother, we had a, you know, matter of fact, this year is our 30 years of being wrestling partners, buddy. And Robert and I are still going strong, dude. We still wrestle 4 or 5 nights a week. I know that we're older, but we still enjoy ourselves. But, you know, one thing that we do is that we do perform. I know when I get to a certain age, you know, I love wrestling, dude. It's my whole life. I was grown up in a wrestling family. My dad was a professional wrestler. Then he refereed in the Mid-South area for Jarrett and him for years, named Paul Morton. And I was in the wrestling business all my life. I just I love what I do. I love entertaining. But when it gets to the point that I can't do my job, that's when I step out of the ring. But dude, I don't know. I'm old until I see a picture of myself. Hello?
No, yeah. I mean, you know, we got to see you at PWS. You guys still tremendous. You still can go. So, I mean, I don't see – I mean, do you have an end date in sight? Or you're just like, you know what, until the body stops, I'm just going to keep going?
Till the body stops. Buddy, because you know, basically, dude, you got to understand that it's really how I still make a living, and it's all I've ever done to wrestle. People can say whatever they want to, but we still do good business. I don't know if you heard about the last Saturday night up in Waynesboro, Virginia, where Robert and I wrestled X-Pac and Kevin Nash, where they put 500 more people than they're supposed to in the building. The fire marshals came in, but I mean, and what a great match we had. And unbelievable to see Robert and I work with Kevin and Xbox. And believe it or not, guys, it's just business. Got to hand it off. Kevin put us over with the double drop kick. And it was, but what a hell of a match we had.
That's tremendous. Going back again, you guys worked with Lanny Poffo and Randy Savage. Curious, early on, I think it was back early 80s, 83, 84, could you see greatness in Randy? Could you see how talented he was? Was he a diamond in the rough? What were your thoughts on working with a young Randy Savage?
Well, I knew Randy way before then, dude. Randy was always a great worker. Yeah, I don't know if you guys knew, Randy was a semi-pro baseball player.
Yeah.
And very athletic. I knew, Lanny, I knew his dad, Angelo, real good. Matter of fact, we all grew up together around that area. Before Randy didn't come in, they ran up like up in Missouri and up in Kentucky had their own little territories that were small, but it was great. But, you know, Randy, dude, and Lanny, too. I mean, I enjoyed really, you got to understand back those days and not being rude or putting anybody down. You had to be able to work to even get the ring, and you had to be good. And but Randy was one of those, you know, you have good workers, you have great workers, and Randy was in the category of a great worker. And if you notice on those days back in Memphis, if you've seen Robert and I wrestle, Randy and Lanny, you know, Randy Savage and I were the first one to ever go through a table, break a table. I don't know if you ever seen that video or not in Memphis, Tennessee, but it was a great thing. We was the first one to ever do that, man.
Wow, I did not know that.
I've seen pictures
of it before.
Yes, he piled drive me through the table. And it wasn't one of these tables like they got these days. It was one of them big hard 2x4, you know, plywood tables, you know. But and it actually got over real good when he did that, dude. We drew a lot of money off that.
That's awesome. Ricky, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, personally as a fan, when I first saw you, I saw, you know, you guys working with the Midnight Express, Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton, and you guys had some fabulous matches. That's probably, actually, I will, you know, publicly admit, and this is the God's honest truth, the first time I ever saw, you know, NWA wrestling, you had a match with the Midnight Express. It was on Saturday morning television. So you guys were the first image when I saw NWA wrestling, and that's what I associate NWA wrestling with, by watching, you know, having you guys be the first match when I thought about it. But I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the original Midnight Express had Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey, and then there was Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane, and you guys worked with Stan and Bobby as well. Could you tell me, were there differences in the chemistry as far as, you know, working with those guys? You know, were there any differences working between the two teams? You know, did you like it? Did you dislike it? You know, did you feel the same energy that you had? You know, did you feel the same energy with Stan and Bobby that you did with Bobby and Dennis?
Well, you know, when we first started, you know, the angles with the Midnight Express, we first did this before we came to India, to North Carolina, NWA, down in Louisiana, with Bill Watts' territory. Everything got over good. But, you see, well, I was just telling you a while ago, you know, where you have good workers and you have great workers. Now, understand me, Bobby Eaton, Dennis Condrey were great, you know, fantastic, some of the greatest workers ever in our business. And the situation happened, but you got to, you know, where Dennis left. I don't know. It was none of my business. I just know he wasn't there. And when you have somebody like Stan Lane to step right in and in the middle of an angle, or, you know, and understand, dude, when we're carrying this territory, where we're selling out everywhere we're going, where Stan Lane just stepped right into the picture. And believe it or not, buddy, right when Stan Lane, it was like being such a great worker that Stan was, dude, it never missed a beat. There was no, like, downtime. There was no rebuilding the teams or the Midnight Express. I mean, and I got to hand it, you know, Jimmy Cornette, one of the greatest talkers, interviewers in our business, and it just, it shot right off. We never missed a beat. The matches were just as good. Maybe some of them might have been better because we got off it to different angles that meant, you know, that built our run up with the Midnight Express. And I got to hand it to Stan Lane, dude. My hat's off to it. Dude, when you step into a position like that with one of the top guys or one of the top tag teams, you know, it's a lot of burden, a lot of, you know, pressure put on you. Stan Lane just tore it up, dude. So, you know, I'm not sitting here saying nothing bad about Dennis or nobody else. Dennis is great. But when you do something like that, somebody steps in and takes another guy's place. Stan Lane did a terrific job, guys.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I wanted to also ask you about the angle that you guys had with the Four Horsemen, where they, you know, jumped you guys in the locker room and they pretty much beat you so bad that you you know, I think they, I want to say on television, I believe the angle said that they broke your nose and they scrubbed your face on the floor of the dressing room. What was it like working with the Horsemen and, you know, touring the country, you know, the territory with them? And, you know, how far could it have gone any farther than it did with the Four Horsemen and the Rock and Roll Express?
Well, buddy, yeah, it could have. It could have went further with that, not only with Four Horsemen, you know, because out of that right there, I went to a deal with Flair. And it could have went a lot further. But let me go back to the beginning of what you just told me. I was listening. I work in the wrestling business all my life. Sometimes I watch WWE, and sometimes I watch Impact Wrestling when I'm not on the road because my son loves it a lot. But my son had a video the other day, and he brought it and he showed it to me. And it's one of the greatest compliments a person could ever get. It's the thing with Steve Austin where he's talking in an interview on one of his videos. And they asked Steve about what's one match that sticks out? And he stopped. Then he said, I'll tell you that one off the bat. He said the greatest match he ever seen was Robert and I wrestling Ole and Arn Anderson. And you have to understand that was a great thing. But, you know, guys, the business was so much different then. You know, we kayfabed. We worked hard. And you had to earn the respect, especially like Ole Anderson. I don't know. You know, I love Ole, but Ole was an old, irritable son of a gun. And when you had to earn Ole's respect. But after we did our angles and worked, it was some of the greatest things. And buddy, you can get a lot more out of it. There's a lot of things you can get a lot more out of. But the politics in this wrestling business back then, and it still is today, and I'm not afraid to talk about it, the politics. Buddy, when you get to a certain point, there's some people that want you to go no higher. So we could have did a lot more out of it. It went a lot further, but, you know, we sold out everywhere we went. We had a great run with the Andersons. And then off that, you know, I went to a little deal with Flair. And it was good, guys. I enjoyed doing it, and these guys were great.
Curious, I mean, you talk about your run with Flair. Like, when you look back on your career, I mean, do you wish you had more in the area of singles competition? Are you content being one of the greatest tag teams of all time? What are your thoughts on your career?
It could have been a situation like that. I could have had a longer run with Flair and understand it, but if I had a longer run with Flair, it would have abolished the Rock and Roll Express. You hear me? They would have split us up. And to me, I wasn't going to do that. Started out with Robert. You know, I started in business when I was a kid, but me and Robert started together, and my God, brother, I'm going to finish it with him. And that's just the way I do it. It might have cost me a lot in my lifetime, but I could sleep at night, and I got to say, you know, I enjoy who I am, what I am right now, what I've done in the business, guys, as being a tag team wrestler.
You talk a lot about the business before as compared to the business today. And you said you do watch WWE and TNA. As someone who is an expert on tag team wrestling, what are your thoughts on the state of tag teams now in professional wrestling?
Okay, you know, I'm glad you asked me that, guys, and I really appreciate that because, you know, a lot of these guys, but don't get me wrong, okay, and I'm not disrespecting anybody out there. You know, a lot of people say that tag team wrestling is dead. And I heard earlier a while ago about John Morrison giving seminars that's coming up, which is great. But you see, what Robert and I want to do is maybe start giving tag team seminars. And it's not because tag team wrestling is dead. It's because a lot of people don't know how to be tag team wrestlers. And I'm serious. I watch a lot of these tag team guys. And, you know, one person's worried about the other guy getting over better than him. The other one's worried about getting a better spot than his partner. They're having a match. And that's not what tag team wrestling's about. Maybe some people might think that I'm wrong. I watch, it's just the part, dude, that when you are a tag team wrestling, you know, and you got to understand that's not the letter I in the word team. You have to work together to make people understand what tag team wrestling is about. And like I just said, I think Robert and I pretty soon are going to go out, you know, and give tag team seminars. I don't know if anybody's done that or hadn't done that, but it's supportive of work, and it's not because of their fault. It's because, you know, like TNA and WWE, which they do, I see now they have tag team. Before they, you know, you had a tag team, they wasn't together but a month. You know what I'm saying? And they separate them. But as you go on in this business, and you know, they just don't know what they're doing, to me. Okay, bud?
Are there any tag teams you actually enjoy watching now, or you think, for the most part, collectively, they're missing the boat?
Well, you know, I like to watch them, but you got to understand me. I'm an old critic. Yeah, I watch them, and, well, you could have did. I'm thinking to myself, well, if you'd done it this way, it would have been a lot better. But, you see, I'm not there. I've watched, and don't get me wrong, it's like Impact Wrestling, guys. I watched this, and I see so much talent at Impact Wrestling, and not only in tag teams, but with everybody. They got so much talent there, but they don't know what to do with it. And I guess I'm not knocking nobody. I'm not trying to put it down. They got a lot of great talent there, guys. And the head guys could do a lot better job, but the storylines and starting using the talent they see. And I'm not being wrong. It's the same thing that's getting to me every day. Because, like I said, my son, it seems like every time I watch the TV show, it's the same thing I watched the week before. And, look into the future of building something 3 months ahead. I'm not talking about WWE, but I'm kind of like Impact. It's like they're guessing from week to week on what to do. I mean, I don't have the answers to everything, but that's what it seems like to me, man.
No, is that something like going forward? I mean, I know you're showing no signs of slowing down, and you're out there and you're in the ring. Would you like to at some point perhaps get a job in creative, helping tag teams out on a television?
I'd like to. You know, it's the first time, and like I said, I was listening to your news thing a while ago, where they're opening up the new facility in Orlando for WWE. I would, you know. I lost contact with a lot of people. I love to have a job doing that. I love to go in there with some of the programs and teach some of the. And it's not all about that, you know. It's about, you know, wrestling's a lot of things you got to learn. A lot of people that miss the boat on little things in this business that mean so much. Yes, I loved it, but that's all I know is wrestling. The day I step out of the ring, I don't know what to do. I would love to be a part. I mean, you know, of something still to do with wrestling, but.
Oh, Ricky, we got to thank you so much for giving us some time. You said you're wrestling all over the country, which said at least four or five times a week. When can we see you?
Beg your pardon?
If fans want to catch you in action, when's the next time we can see you?
Well, I have to get my daughter to put it on my Facebook. I book so much. I know where I'm at next weekend. We're having a tournament down here in Kingsport for the winner of it. Just wrestling the guys for the NWA World Champion. And then Saturday night we're going to be in Gastonia. Matter of fact, Robert and I are going to be wrestling the Warlord and the Barbarian, Power of Pains. We're going to be in Gastonia, North Carolina next Saturday night. And from there, you know, Robert and I are going out to Texas. But you know, I have such a hard schedule that I can't remember a lot of where I'm at. I just want to say to all the wrestling fans out there, thank you for all the years. We got out of, anyway.
Thank you for all the years and years of entertainment.
Yeah. What city are you out of?
We're out of New York. Actually, I'm in New York.
Oh, really? Okay.
Dave is in Connecticut. He calls in, so Yeah, we're in the Northeast.
Great, man, because, you know, being up north, you know, Robert and I were just up in Jersey. We had such a great time up there with the wrestling programs and meeting all the fans. You know, because we're normally down south a lot. And they come up north to see us and make them see that us being old guys that we can still go. But down south here, buddy, we do a lot. But like I said, to all the people up north and all the people that's listening to your radio, thank you for your time. I want to thank you guys. It's a great compliment and a great privilege to be on your show. I hope I can come back on sometimes. And if you get anybody out there, if you just go on the internet, get a chance to come see Robert and I. Come and see it. We'll take you back to a blast of the past. And thank you very much for having me on your show, buddy.
Thank you so much, and we'd love to have you back on. And to everyone, you know, check out Ricky Morton's Facebook if you want to go see him. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Rick.
And there you have it, man. Ricky Morton. Can we just take a moment? It's like one of those moments, again, where I'm just sitting there. It's like, yeah, I'm just talking wrestling and old school wrestling with Ricky Morton. This is so cool doing this show. So it was great giving us some great stories, stuff with Randy Savage. I mean, it just amazes me, like, talking it's like you're actually talking to the history of the business. And you know what? Dave, we saw them in the ring. They can still go. I mean, you know, granted, there's age and maybe not as quick as they once were, but, he's talking about entertaining the people, and maybe that's what he means with you know, I love the athleticism, and sometimes I'm just amazed at how quick some guys can go. But sometimes it's not about how quick you can go in the ring. It's really about telling that story and entertaining the people. And 30 years the tag team, they still entertain the people. You see them go. You're still going to get an entertaining match. I can't say enough, and it was great hearing all the stories. And, no joke, if you have a chance to go see them, those guys can still go. They can still give you an entertaining matchup. So the Rock and Roll Express, check out Ricky Morton's Facebook, see where they're performing. But a really cool moment, Dave.
Absolutely. I mean, the smile that's on my face, it can't be removed surgically, honest to God. I mean, just, you know, once again, Rick, thank you very much for being on the show. It was a pleasure meeting you in New Jersey. We'd love to have you back on. And like I said, when I was a kid, the first time I ever watched, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions and the NWA, that was the first match I watched, was with the Rock and Roll Express against the Midnight Express. And that's how I always, as a child, envisioned NWA wrestling when I thought of it, was just because of that match alone. And like you said, it's so cool to do this show. It's so cool to talk wrestling with him and the history of the business and stuff that we had never heard of before. And you know, it was cool the other day when he called me back after I left him a voicemail to set this interview up. And if it wasn't on the bucket list, it's been checked off on my wrestling bucket list. It's been checked off now. So Ricky, thank you very much if you're listening, you know. And like I said, I'd love to have you on. You could be on the whole 2 hours you want to talk. I don't care.
Yeah.
We'll have you on. Once again, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I want to book him next time and just, like, sit back. Just say, hey, Ricky, talk about wrestling. And then shut up for the next 2 hours and just let him, like, tell us stories and matches and whatever. I mean, it's good stuff. So 347-838-9815. It's kind of been a potpourri, if you will, tonight. A lot of different things going on. You want to talk The Rock, you want to talk Ricky Morton, you want to talk just history in general, whatever you want to talk about, give us a call, 347-838-9815. We're going to go out to the phones because we got Mike's on the line. Mike, are you there?
Hey, guys, what a great way to follow up Ricky Morton. The guy is a tremendous talent to the business.
What are you talking about? That's like the equivalent of, like, the Diva match after the Undertaker match. Like, come on now.
What do you got for us, Mike?
Wait a minute. Whoa. You're talking about what a way to follow up? Oh, with me? I'm just saying it's a privilege and an honor for me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we all know, like, they say some people go out for steak, some people go out for lobster. But let me tell you something. Ric Flair, the best. Okay, Ricky Morton went up against Ric Flair, so that's all I gotta say. Woo! That's all I gotta say about that. Ric Flair.
I'm
baby.
just
I'm just messing with you, Mike. What do you got for us?
I got it. Ricky Morton was mentioned in Ric Flair's book, and Ric Flair said that Morton was the heart of the unit. Ricky was a fabulous performer and could have been one of the top single wrestlers in the business. But unlike Shawn Michaels, who became a World Wrestling Federation champion after parting ways with his tag team partner, Marty Jannetty, Ricky never broke up with Robert. And that was one of the things that made Ricky Morton stand out. That him and Robert Gibson are still together. He said it was 30 years, and I think that's great. But I have something, Ken, in the NWA stable, because you're connected to the NWA. We have a brand new NWA Eastern Shore champion, a good friend of mine, Biggie Biggs.
Biggie Biggs.
What do you think about Biggie Biggs, baby? Biggie Biggs, one of the best.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Biggie.
Oh, I love Biggie Biggs, baby. I have the privilege, and everybody knows I have the privilege of managing Biggie Biggs, and he's a good guy, and I congratulate him on that. As far as I heard you guys talking about The Rock and Triple H, that match will never happen because I heard that The Rock and Triple H never want to work with each other again. That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is. You know, in this business, you hear things, and that's one of the things I heard. Unfortunately, I would love to see The Rock versus Triple H, but like everybody's been talking about for next year's WrestleMania, I heard possibly The Rock versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, Mike, if Triple H and The Rock did not want to work with each other. I mean, I've heard lots of stories that there was, you know, heat amongst the two in the late 90s, you know, Triple H burying The Rock to management, you know, Rock having heat with Shawn Michaels for the way Shawn Michaels had treated The Rock's grandmother, who ran one of the territories out in Hawaii after, High Chief Peter Maivia passed away. I heard Michaels didn't really treat her too well, and The Rock had heat with him, which led to the heat with Hunter. So it doesn't surprise me one bit if they never work with each other again. This wrestling fan over here, it's a huge match I'd love to see again. But
definitely. SummerSlam 1998, The Rock lost the Intercontinental Championship to Triple H in a ladder match, and I thought that was I thought they had a great match. And both obviously went their separate ways, and you also touched on something, Ken, with The Rock being a big movie star. Well, hell yeah, the guy has seven movies out already this year. I mean, who's busier than The Rock? He did the Royal Rumble. He did No Way Out. He did this. I mean, he did WrestleMania. I mean, my God, I'm surprised The Rock didn't hear something.
We're getting some break. C.W. Smith, who's like, he's still on the ball, even though he wasn't able to be on the show tonight, but he's telling us that the Rock stuff is directly due to a dispute with Triple H. What was that?
Is that what he's saying? I also know The Rock is going to have an operation next week.
He's got the hernia surgery, supposedly, correct?
Yeah, that's what he's going to have done. I heard that today. But it is what it is. It's wrestling. So that's what the Smith guy is saying. Well, good for guys like Smith. And I'm sorry his powerbomb site went down or whatever. But if he's listening, keep on plugging away. Everybody needs a guy like him to report.
Yeah, it seems like good stuff. Mike, as always, thank you for supporting us and giving us a call, and we'll talk to you next time.
I got a plug. What do you call it?
Not surprised, but okay.
Well, I mean, come on, everybody comes on the show who's a performer, and you guys forget. Sometimes I think you guys forget that I actually am a performer in the business. I know it's hard to believe, but
you're always performing.
Understatement of the year, but go ahead.
ECPW, May 11th, they're doing a thing. It's going to be called Matt's Heart of Gold, and it's for a kid named Matt who passed away in 2008. And it's going to be at it's May 11th, Saturday, May 11th, Saturday night, May 11th, Fast Break, 236 Richmond Valley Road, Staten Island, New York. And for people who want to go, it's ecpw1.com, and that will give you the information for that. And, guys, I thank you very much for my time, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Okay, thanks a lot for giving us a call. Appreciate it.
That's
a good cause. I mean, ECPW, going for a good cause. So it's time now for our daily affirmation with Justin. Justin, how are you tonight?
Good, Ken.
So what do you got for us? Raw, SmackDown, Impact, what'd you like this week?
Well, it was pretty good, Ken.
What so what'd you think of anything stick out for you this week, as far as what was on the wrestling TV?
Oh yeah. You know what, Ken? Are you an Edge fan?
I am an Edge fan. I miss Edge.
Me too.
Yeah. I think, when I look, it's funny with guys, and we talked a little bit about, there's reports that Batista might be coming back and, all that stuff. I mean, when I look at this, he's one of those guys that I always liked Edge, and I thought he brought a lot to the table. You don't know, you don't realize how much you're going to miss certain guys until they're actually gone. And when you look at, a lot of the stuff on TV right now, would Edge add a lot to the current product? Absolutely. So, I think he's definitely missed on TV. I think he's a guy who made the right decision walking out when he did, because you don't want him compromising his health. But definitely a guy that, WWE programming could really use right now. And, who knows, Justin? Maybe down the road a piece. I mean, he can't perform, but... he's a good talker. I wouldn't mind seeing Edge signed on as a GM-type character down the road. I don't, Dave, what do you think? I can almost see Edge also as a commentator.
Yeah, I could see him doing both. But, here's something interesting that it's funny that you mentioned Edge, Justin. But, Edge is on TV right now, right, Justin?
Right, Dave. You got it right, Buster. You got that right. Funny.
My mother called me Buster once when I was a kid. Hi. That's pretty cool. Anyhow, no, he's on Sci-Fi. They have a show called Haven, and he's going to be a regular character on the television show Haven. It's on the Sci-Fi channel. I believe it comes on Friday nights after SmackDown. So you can, if you want to see Edge, he's not going to be wrestling. He's going to be on a television show. You can see Edge there on Haven on Sci-Fi's on Sci-Fi channel on Friday nights.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. What a ham.
Ah, Justin, I love your calls. They're great. So, yeah, check out Haven, because I haven't watched the show. So, what the heck? If you decide you want to check out Haven, go take a look at it. Let us know what you think of it.
All right, Ken, you know what?
What?
One day you should be a great host, and you should do your job good.
Thank you. We should be great hosts. We're working on that.
Yeah, it's a work in progress, but we'll get there eventually. We'll meet your standards.
All right,
Justin, thank you so much for the call. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, Ken.
Take care.
Cool.
Man. Thank you. I'm cool. Justin always, it's such a happy, the second hour is such a happy hour. Justin Call and Ricky Morton. I just put Justin and Ricky Morton in the same category, but put a smile on my face for tonight. We have someone calling right now. John is on the line, and he's actually close with Ox Baker, and he wanted to call and just give us an update on Ox Baker and his health right now. It was reported that he had a heart attack. We've heard different things. John, how is Ox doing right now?
Hey, Ken. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and your co-host there. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just left the hospital about an hour ago, and Ox is in great spirits. First of all, he was sent to the hospital about 4 or 5 days ago. He He was complaining of dizziness and just a little short of breath. And they took him in. And what it is they just found a little bit of fluid in his lungs. And they're just trying to get his heart, you know, back to the right thing. No heart attack, no stroke, you know, all these rumors that are going around. So Ox wanted me to call you because he loves your show. And he wanted to send, you know, let his fans and friends know that he's doing fine and it's not a heart attack and it's not a stroke. And he will be back on the circuit managing and signing and taking pictures of all his fans.
Well, and that's great to hear. Do they know how long they're going to have to keep him in the hospital right now? Or has he got any date to get out?
A couple more days. He was walking around today, you know, yelling at all the patients, you know, how Ox is just joking around. And the nurses there are looking him up on YouTube and trying to find out who he is, and they're fascinated of how he talks and his, you know, there's not too many guys that go into the hospital with the eyebrows he has and the mustache he has. So everyone was peeking in, and the nurses from different rooms keep coming in to, you know, meet him and stuff. And he's just like, I tell him, you know, Ox, you can't be your persona. You know, you can't be a mean guy to these nurses and to these people that come in to talk to you. Like, you tell the lady, get out. You got one chance to take my blood pressure. If you can't do it right, get out. And you know, I have to go and apologize and all that. But he's a great guy, you know. You met him before. And I just want to let you know he's in great spirits, as you can see. You know, by the way, he's been walking around the hospital saying hi to people and stuff, and he should be out in the next couple of days.
Very good. Glad to hear it. I'd love to talk to him again real soon, you know, once he's back on his feet. That's great to hear. It's amazing. You know, these old school guys, it's funny because, like, they just they really get it, and they just, you know, they're not breaking kayfabe no matter what.
It
feels like a reality show just with Ox Baker's hospital stay, and they probably have a few weeks of really great TV. Great to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in and letting us give Ox our best.
You know, I got some shows coming up. I don't know if you got a few minutes. I know you're late. You're probably crushed on time. Can I have another minute of your time?
Sure, go ahead. Why not?
Ox will be, well, first of all, some of the old school guys called him. Fred Ottman called him today and was taught they were reminiscing about the, you know, the old school days when he took on Ox in the steel cage match. And his first match was against Ox in a steel cage in Texas wrestling. And a couple other guys called him up. So he was happy to get that. And, he's going to be coming in. I got him and Brutus the Barber Beefcake coming in to Chicopee Boys and Girls Club for NEFW at on May 11th. And also Jimmy Snuka is going to be there. Samu, Amazing Red, Homicide 187, and all the NEFW stars will be there. So that's in Chicopee, Massachusetts. And I just want to give you a heads up on that. And we're going to be doing a couple Comic-Cons coming up. And also, you probably heard about the big convention in Fairhaven, Massachusetts on June 22nd.
Yes, that thing's huge.
Yeah, Ox will be there. I also have Maria, and I have Tugboat, Shockmaster, and Typhoon, you know, the gentleman that plays those three. And we're working on a couple other guys. But it's supposed to be one of the biggest shows in the New England area.
Yeah, what's that? I'm trying to remember. What is that? Who's putting that on? It's June 22nd out in Massachusetts. But, yeah, if you're a wrestling fan and you want to meet...
Joe Bruin is a great guy. I don't know if you met him or not at some of the shows, but he's been promoting this thing for the last year. He's been at every indie show from New Jersey to Maine, dropping off flyers, promoting this thing, and it's just every day it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I can't believe some of the guys he's got on the show. I know Jerry Lawler's going to be there, the Million Dollar Man's going to be there, and there's more surprises being added, you know. But I think that's, if you go to Joe Bruin on Facebook, it should be on there, or if you could go to WrestlingFigs.com and you go to the autograph signing part, they would have that up there. It's one of the biggest conventions in the Northeast. Hopefully Ken Reedy's show will be there.
Yeah, we may just. Something like that.
I know.
And when I saw the list of people that were going to be there, it was pretty impressive. So going to be a great show. John, thanks a lot for giving us a call. A whole bunch of dates, so... be sure to check that out, and again, give Ox Baker our best.
I will, and I'm going to try to get either Jimmy Snuka or Brutus to call you in the next week or two.
All right, cool. We would love to talk to you. Legends on.
You guys take care of yourself. You got it, man. Bye.
Take care.
Thanks, John.
Well, and there you have it. So Ox Baker recovering, giving the hospital staff hell. You know, I can't imagine what that's got to be like, especially, you know, I mean, years ago, wrestling was probably more, you know, like people knew more about it in the 80s. It was more, it crossed over boundaries, you know. God, you know, I would think, like, if you're not a wrestling fan, you have no idea who Ox Baker is, and this guy comes in with those eyebrows. I just wish I could have been in the hospital for him yelling at the staff.
There's probably a lot of nurses that have either handed in their resignation or taken a lot of time after that experience.
Threatening doctors with his heart punch. Awesome. Let's go back out to the phones. We've gone everywhere tonight, Joe. So whatever you want to talk about, 347-838-9815. Carl, are you there?
Yeah, okay, I'm here. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Doing good. It's Joe the ref here from BWO.
Joe, you know what's funny? You called us, and I'm pretty good at recognizing voices right away, but you called us right after WrestleMania, and I'm not used to you actually having your voice, and I don't recognize it right away. Like, oh, yeah. So it's not,
yeah,
not
my voice was shot.
Glad to see that you had your voice back. What do you got for us this evening?
Thank you. Well, I just got a quick question. You know, I was watching SmackDown last week, and I was kind of intrigued by the main event with teaming up Big Show and Mark Henry against Orton and Sheamus. I know it might, you know, jumping the gun a little too quick here, but do you think that there's a potential of having a Mark Henry-Big Show tag team?
I think it's an excellent question. I'd love it. I think it would be cool for those two guys. It, you know, right now, I mean, for both of them, they've done the badass thing. They've done the indomitable big guy. Why not do like a most dominant tag team in history thing? Have those two guys beat Hell No. It could be fun. I kind of like the two of them together as a tag team. So. I don't know. I mean, this is me just as an opinion, and not that they both don't work still as singles guys, but I'm intrigued by the idea of them potentially sticking together.
Yeah, I see them as being something big. If they do decide to go with that direction of having them as a tag team, I see them as being a big threat for the tag team division or what's left of the tag team division.
That's a good point.
But I just wanted to call, because I know you guys don't have much time left. I just wanted to call and promote our next BWO show, BWO Revelation, Saturday, May 18th in Nutley, New Jersey. If you need to buy any tickets, you can come to the website, bodyslamwrestling.com, or you can check us out on Facebook, Body Slam Wrestling Organization. Or
very cool.
Yours truly, Joe the Ref, has Facebook followers. And, you know, I got my tickets on me. So if anybody needs tickets, you know where to go.
Very cool. Thanks a lot for the call. And yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for having me.
BWO. We'll talk to
Thanks
you soon.
Thanks for having me, Ken. Take care.
Take it easy.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Wow, there you have it. We've become like promotional central for like the independent wrestling scene.
We should call it the plug show. You call it, you plug whatever
it is
you want.
Awesome. I mean, we have great callers, and I love our callers. It's like everyone's
got a
great
time you can plug.
Well, yeah. They have their great wrestling points. They talk about, and then like, every caller has something going on. There's like, and now that I'm finished with my wrestling talk, and let me just plug my and insert plug there. But that's cool. Like, we'll work together. You guys help promote our show, so we'll help. You can promote, and as long as you're calling in with fun, entertaining calls, why not at the end of it promote something? Well, you guys. We're running up close to the end, but you know what it's time for.
The Ken Reedy Show, Nod of Approval.
This is a portion. portion of our program, we talk about something in the world of professional wrestling where you were sitting there and you're watching it on your couch and you just nodded to yourself and said, yeah, that worked. I like that. And you just kind of nod to yourself, and we do this each and every week, the nod of approval. And, Dave, this week, who was your nod?
You know, there were a few things that caught my eye, but there was one thing that really stood out for me. It was Friday on SmackDown. It was the opening segment where Lillian Garcia had introduced Fandango. I'll probably screw the name up again when I talk about it. But anyhow,
you just never know when it's going to come in.
In the middle of my nod, really? You got to give entrance music for a caller. I'm the goddamn co-host. I can't even get my point across now. In the middle of my nod. Jesus. Anyhow, she was introducing him. He came out. He started doing his shtick, his dance. And then he got on the microphone. And he approached her. And he got, like, really close to her. And in, like, a very creepy way. And she was... I don't know if she, I mean, I'm assuming that she was, you know, playing a scared character of sorts, because she had this look on her face like she was absolutely terrified of him. And then unfortunately, he, like, touches her, and it blurred the lines for me. It's like, is she going to try and kiss him? Like, or you know, this is part of the story. Like, is she going to try and kiss him? They got really close, and then he dipped her and dropped her on the ground and then drew tremendous heat from the audience. And this is what's cool about it. Like, not only the way she reacted to him, which is a big portion of my nod here tonight, but also the fact that the company, they are capitalizing on this popularity that he has, but they're not, like, overly doing it. They're just giving you enough to, like, get into it, and then they're pulling it back and taking it away from you, you know, which is kind of cool. And that's what a heel does. They give you something, but then they take it away from you, you know, and it makes you angry, and it makes you upset and mad. Then you want to boo. And then the place, you know, erupted in boos that he did that to her. So my nod of approval this week goes to, for the most part, Lillian Garcia and her portion in that segment, but also just the overall booking of the segment with Fandango.
It was definitely a good segment. She did an excellent job with that. And, you know, it's tough because, like, the theme is so over that, you know, it's obvious that the plans are to keep him heel. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult when something gets that popular. I think they're doing a good job right now at keeping him in a heel spot while Fandangoing is taking over the country. My nod, actually, you know, this was a tough one for me because, you know, it was a week of, like, solid, you know, in-ring action. Some matches that stood out to me, you know, AJ and James Storm. We talked about that before. Kofi Kingston and Cesaro, great match. But my nod goes to Del Rio versus Swagger. I thought that was a tremendous matchup on SmackDown. If you missed SmackDown, try and find it. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. But thought the finish was great. The holds, the reversals, the storytelling, everything worked. And everything that's going on right now is, you know, this slow rebuilding of Swagger since he's come back. And, you know, this is one of those matches that, you know, I don't want to go so far as to say a classic, but it really was a great matchup physically, just pacing, everything just clicked. And I think it's working right now going towards a triple threat for the world championship. I mean, you have, you know, Swagger went over on Ziggler, Del Rio beat Swagger. You know, I just think it's working right now storytelling-wise, but specifically for me, my nod is going to that match because I thought everything really worked. I was engaged. I was really on the edge of my seat watching the whole thing unfold, and I thought they really did a tremendous job. So, you know, overall, again, a good week of in-ring action, some really, really good matches, but the one that wins out for me as far as the nod on SmackDown, Del Rio and Swagger. And there you have it, Lillian Garcia in the Fandango segment and Del Rio, nods of approval.
Oh,
The Ken Reedy Show, Nod of Approval.
I just want to know how many wrestling fans out there listening that are thinking, damn it, I just got that song out of my head. It's back. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This show is it's a fun show tonight. Had a really good time. Kind of a lot of twists and turns tonight, but all in all, a lot of fun. And for Dave and I, we cannot thank Ricky Morton enough for joining us and telling us some stories about the old days, and he's still going. He's still out there performing. So it's a good night, Dave.
Yeah, fun night. Just another reason why I love doing this so much, and love, you know, talking wrestling with you and entertaining the, you know, the our listeners, even if it's at my own expense. I love doing this, and I would never want to miss a Sunday or a Tuesday. This is the best job I've ever had in the world, and I'll do this for as long as I can. And that's, honest to God, that's a shoot.
For Dave, I'm Ken. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care, everybody.